everybody. This is Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another episode. Today, we are recording episode number 74, and I have the honor and distinct privilege to be joined by Betty Cohen, a very interesting individual. I've known and I've worked with Betty for many years, but recently we've been more engaged in terms of seeing each other, talking to each other a little bit more. And so Betty is the current president of OTIAC, and we'll get to know what OTIAC is in a minute. I can't wait to hear about Betty's localization story. How did it all start for her? Betty is on, what is it, like 2-3 careers down the road now? Like, how many careers you've had already? So, you've had a few.
Continuing parallel
excellent. Career. Well, thank you for joining me, Betty, this morning. I really appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time to be on the channel. And the audience and myself are very excited to have you on. And I can't wait to hear more about your history. How did you get into the language industry? And what are you up to date? But we'll get through this. First question, first is first, I guess, for us and on the channel. First question for all the audience or all the guests that came on the channel. Tell us your localization story, and please introduce yourself to the audience.
Okay, so the name is Betty Cohen. You just said it. How did I get? Actually, it goes back quite far, because I was always interested in languages, even when I was in high school. I was in Morocco at the time, and I was in the French education system. And the first language we learned was English, and I was very good at it. Which I hope I still am.
You are. You don't need to ask.
Speaking person. So I was I liked it a lot. And when people asked me at that time, you know, what do you want to do? I said, I want to be an interpreter. But then, say, you know, life happened and we ended up here in Canada. And actually, I was in CEGEP. I don't know. In Quebec, we have colleges 2 years before the university. I was there. And that's how it happened. One day, one of my teachers said, "You're good at languages." I said, "Yeah, I like it." I said, "You know, translation in Canada is very good in Quebec. Maybe if you're interested, do that." That's what I did. So I have my bachelor's, master's degree in translation in Montreal, University of Montreal. And I went on. So that's what happened. And from there, I started, of course, as a salaried employee at the Canadian Securities Institute, which made me specialized in finance, markets, etc. Then an insurance company where I learned insurance. So, you know, I kind of augmented my specialization or you know, expanded it. And then I started a career, you know, I went on my own as a freelance. Then I created my little micro company. Then I decided that I wanted to go to France. That's where I had my graduate diploma in the science of languages, if you want. I wouldn't know how to translate that really. And worked at Banque de France, so that was a big thing too. And then came back in a small company, and then by the time I became the partner in charge of PwC's linguistic services, and I ended my working career there. But meanwhile, and that's my localization, it's part of my localization journey, if you want. At the very, very beginning of my career, a friend of mine came and said, "You know, I'm responsible of one committee at STQ, Société des Traducteurs du Québec. Why don't you join?" That was in 1983. Not 18. I'm not that old. And since then, I have had a kind of parallel career in associations, etc. So I have been president of STQ, which became, under my presidency of STQ, became Ordre des Traducteurs, Terminologues et Interprètes Agréés du Québec. We will probably talk about it a bit later. And then I was vice president of CTEC. Then I became a treasurer of the International Federation of Translators, then president. Meanwhile, I've been very active at OTIAC until last, you know, doing many things, communications, any committee. I think I've been through all the committees. And then last year, I came back came as president of OTIAC because I've not been president of OTIAC before. I've been president of SDQ before. So that's a point we have to make. And then there you are. So in a few words, this has been my my journey. Always interested in what's happening in our profession. I'm trying to keep up to date with everything that's happening, which is quite a journey in itself these days. But there you are.
Absolutely. Betty, for those who don't know, you are located in Quebec, right? And so for those, so now that you've opened the topic on and that's the purpose, I think, for our conversation today, is for people to get to know who OTIAC is, get to know you first, but get to know who OTIAC is, what is OTIAC, what does it do, how does it work, how does it function, what is the responsibilities and obligations, etc. So tell the individuals who don't know what OTIAC is, if you don't mind describing that association, or that ordre, as we say in Quebec. It's not an association, sorry, forgive me for saying that. But what is it? Can you explain it?
Okay. The OTIAC is one of the 46 orders in Quebec. What you have to know is that in Quebec, there's something unique. The way professions are organized in Quebec is very, you know, it is the only way how do I call it? It's unique in the world, actually. The principle of that, it's called Système Professionnel du Québec. So, you know, Quebec professional system. And it is ruled by a law called the Code des Professions du Québec. So all the 46 professional orders are under the same law.
Can you give us some examples of other professions?
Yes. Actually, you have doctors, you have lawyers, you have, you know, dentists, and you also have technicians, you know, radiology technicians, for example, nurses. Now, what you have to know is you have two kinds of orders in Quebec. You have orders that you know, they call exercice exclusif. That means, you know, exclusive exercise of the profession. Meaning these are the lawyers, the doctors, meaning that you cannot be a doctor, you cannot be, when I say doctor, of course, medicine doctor. You cannot be a lawyer, you cannot be a doctor, you cannot be a dentist, for example, if you are not part, if you are not a member of the order. Then you have another kind of order, what they call titre réservé, which means it's a reserved title. That's where we are as translators. Interpreters, terminologists in OTIAC is Ordre des Traducteurs, Terminologues, Interprètes, Agréés du Québec. So we kind of, unite the three professions. This means that you cannot call yourself a certified translator, certified interpreter, certified terminologist if you're not a member of the order. If you're not a member, you can still exercise, you could still work, but you cannot call yourself certified. So it's the title that's reserved. Now, yeah, go ahead. You had a question.
I was going to say, you know, you mentioned earlier, it's very unique because, you know, one of the things that I've, you know, since I've entered the industry 22 years ago, that I heard the struggle around the conversation that was taking place in around all the industry of elevating the translator profession to be equal to other professions. Mm-hmm. And that's happening. That was happening globally. It seems that Quebec, the province of Quebec, have figured out a way to put the profession at a level where, or you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, other professions as well, where you have it now in a, by the way, the agency that you mentioned, or the department that you mentioned in the province of Quebec, that's a provincial department. That's not an outside department as well. So the I love the idea of a translator being equal to other professions, because, you know, let's face it, they did this same amount of study, may not be equal study, but the same amount of studies, some of them more. Some of them, they went and enhanced their studies by getting PhDs and a bunch of other things. So they have intellectually have upgraded their skills to that level. Mm-hmm. And they deserve that kind of status, obviously. And as you mentioned earlier, that doesn't preclude, that doesn't, you know, take away the rights for some other people. They want to do translation, they can do translation. But if you want to be called certified, you have to be part of the order. That's what I'm hearing.
Exactly. Just to put, you know, to be more precise, the same exists in Canada, in British Columbia, New Brunswick, and Ontario. These three provinces also have laws recognizing this, the translators as professionals. But the system is not the same. Quebec system is, again, is very unique. And the reason why is because I was there at the time also. We convinced the government that a bad translation could be a risk and could cause prejudice to the user, to the public, because the whole system in Quebec turns around protecting the public. This is the first mission of an order, any order in Quebec, is protection of the public, and everything, you know, comes from that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say protect the public, and I'm assuming this is regarding a critical type of work that they're going to be doing. And what was the aim there? What are we aiming at by saying protecting the public? Is it, you know, pharmaceutical related? Is it, I don't know, user manual about something?
Anything.
Anything, right?
Anything. It can touch anything, because when you say prejudice, we think immediately about physical prejudice, of course. But this covers more, you know, the span is larger, because it's physical, it's mental, financial, it's reputational.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about this and think about what we translate every day, unless it's you know, the memo that has a lifespan of 10 minutes, just, you know, to translate a speech, the CEO speech or whatever, it can mm-hmm. be. A bad translation can be very, very damageable.
That's right. Give us an idea, if you don't mind, Betty, on the membership structure at OTIAC right now. How many members do you have? Are they, you know, how many members are you attracting every year? Is there like a big mm-hmm. push for membership? Is there no, like, how does the membership work?
We are actually working very hard on that, because Quebec has 2,850 members, something like that. I didn't check the last numbers. But when we look at this, the numbers, Statistics Canada numbers, we only have maybe 1/3 of the translators in Quebec. According to the statistics, there are around 8,000 translators in Quebec, but we only have maybe 1/3 of it. And it's, you know, we really would like to have more. Mm-hmm. So we still have the same problems as any translators associations. We have to convince people to come to us. But because being an order entails more, I would say, a bit of rigidity or more rules to follow, some people hesitate to come. But what they forget is that being a member is a signature. Being a member is a sign that you're serious about the profession, that you are there for your clients, and that you do everything you have to do to maintain your competencies, to follow a code of ethics.
Mm-hmm.
And you are inspected also, because this is what people forget, contrary to an association, where you are admitted and then nobody looks at your work anymore, as long as you pay your dues. In Quebec, when you are a member of an order,
yep,
you can be called anytime.
Mm-hmm.
by somebody from the order, an inspector, saying, hey, this year we are going to come to see you and look at how you work, what you have, etc. It's not a pass or don't pass thing. It's more to advise the member, saying, hey, maybe you should go get more competencies in such and such domain or such and such part of your work, etc. So it's more about advising the members and helping them keep their competencies up to date. So, but this is what's unique.
Okay. Now, there are so many questions in my mind about what you just said. So one question is, can somebody from outside the province of Quebec become a member of the order?
Yes.
They don't need to be a resident of Quebec, but they can apply and become a member outside the order, outside the province, right?
Yeah.
The second question is, and you alluded to it earlier, the part around continuous education. Mm-hmm. How do you manage that?
Okay, it's not mandatory, I like to say, yet.
Okay.
Because again, you know, it's very easy for orders who have exclusive exercise, you know, if you don't have a choice, you have to be a member, to impose continuing education.
Okay.
When you are a reserve title, you still have to be, you know, to have some attraction. So, you know, the more mandatory things you have, the less you are attractive, right?
Yeah.
So, but what we do is that we have quite a program. We had around 40 to 50 trainings in all subjects during the year. Mm-hmm. And our members, it works quite well. Our members come to those trainings, and actually those trainings are open to non-members too.
Okay.
So there's a page on the OTX website. It's called Formation.
And they can take the training online, Betty, or in class?
It's always online.
It's always online?
Always online.
And switching gear a little bit, speaking of education, what is the relationship between OTIAC and academia in Canada or in the province of Quebec?
We have a good relationship because, you know, just a few months, a few weeks ago, I had a meeting with ASSET, you know, the Canadian Association, how do you call it in English? Canadian Associations of Transition School. It's CATS.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And usually they invite us to their annual general meeting to speak about, you know, the trainings and all, you know, okay, I'm losing my English here. The programs, the university programs. There's also part of under the law in Quebec, any order has to have a committee that maintains relationships with the universities to recognize the program. Mm. When we say about recognizing the program, is that to be a member of OTIAC, one of the, you know, the main stream is university diplomas.
Okay.
But for the university diploma to be recognized by OTIAC, it has to respond to a few criteria, which are based on, of course, the main programs that we have. You know, we're not going to reinvent the wheel. And so once the program is recognized by OTIAC, then any young graduate from this university can be a member of OTIAC with a certain other conditions, which mm-hmm. doesn't mean you cannot be a member of OTIAC if you don't have a diploma. We also have this path.
Do you have levels for them, Betty? Do you have levels, like in terms of how much they pay per year? Do you have levels for them, or everybody pays the same?
No, the first 3 years when you're a young graduate, well, a new, I shouldn't be saying young because some people go there, you know. But a new graduate, freshman. Anyway, when you get out of the university and you become a member of OTIAC, the first 2 years you pay only 50%, if I remember where, or is it 25 and 50 and then 75 and then 4?
Okay.
I don't have the numbers in mind, but okay. So
you got the beginning of their career.
Yeah, to help, of course.
Yes, for sure. The second question is, obviously, these individuals that they are part of your order or members of your order, they end up being either working on their own, but most likely they're going to end up being employed by somebody else. What is the relationship, if you don't mind speaking to that, between the Otyakh as an order and mm-hmm. the industries who are language service providers, who are not necessarily just language service provider, but they could be an internal department in another enterprise as well. Do you build those relationships? Is there an activity to build the relationships? Are you on a good contact with them? I'm sure you are, but how do you view this?
We do have contacts, and we try to maintain them. Of course, usually the president of OTIAC maintains contacts. Now with we try to be at each other's events. We try to speak at each other's events. I, for one, is really, really for that. I am really for that. I'm trying to my discourse, what I'm saying is that we are all in the same profession. We're all in the same basket. Mm-hmm. Let's work together.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're still, even if we have this order in Quebec, we still have the same problems as associations. We still have, you know, this is a nice thing, but it's not done yet.
No,
we're not there yet. You know, no. We're not like when you say you're a translator in Quebec, people don't look at you as like, wow. No. We're all the same. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, as I say, we are as water in the tap, electricity in the wires. People say, hey, when we stop.
That's right.
But otherwise, we're invisible.
Yeah.
So we have to work together to be visible.
We do work together. I mean, one of the initiatives that we work together on is that CGSB standard when we all got together mm-hmm. and tried to figure out, you know, what is the best quality standard for Canada and how can we put it together? Industry, government, the order, and a few other associations were involved in that. And we're going through a renewal right now. And it's, you know, it's one of those initiatives that together collectively, industry, the order, the associations, and the government and the customers are getting together and saying, how can we do this better? Not just, you know, I know today we're presenting Otyakh, which has a very, very unique, I think you guys are unique in the world. I don't think there's other entities mm-hmm. somewhere else where they try to be in that profession to be recognized. It's very unique in that space. And you also mentioned 2-3 other provinces in Canada. But Quebec have put a law around that, which is very interesting. And that whole mm-hmm. safety for the public, it's very, very interesting as well to be recognized, which is absolutely true. Now, one of the items that we talked about is you are in a very unique position, being the order, et cetera, to advocate with the government, to work with the government. So I'm assuming there is regular contact between Otyakh, the president of Otyakh, and the government. You guys meet together often. Is there like channels or how does that work?
There is a channel. No, actually, we don't have direct access to the government. Actually, in Quebec, there's a minister responsible for the professions. But we are ruled or managed, if you want, by a government body called the Office des Professions du Québec.
Yes,
This body controls what we do. Like mm-hmm. if we have a new rule, a new policy, etc., that we're in a place, it has to be approved by the OPQ, mm-hmm. Office des Professions du Québec. Now, in the professional system, you have the minister, you have OPQ, who is the kind of the police for the orders, and then parallel to that, you have Conseil Interprofessionnel du Québec.
Okay.
CIQ, who is the other body who unite, if you want, all the 46 orders are in CIQ, and CIQ talks to OPQ. Okay. So it's like we talk about common issues at the Conseil Interprofessionnel du Québec, and these common issues go to the government. Now, if one order as us. And we tried, and it's not easy, because what we tried to do in Quebec, and we haven't succeeded yet, is to tell the government, listen, you gave us a title, that's fine. But if you don't, what we are trying to do, if you don't reserve some professional acts to us, the title is not really efficient. what we said is like, a lawyer has, you know, has standard, has, you know, the contract issued by a lawyer obeys so many.
Cannot be issued by a third party.
Exactly. And there are requirements for that.
Mm-hmm.
And my message to the government, and I've been hammering that for years, but still not succeeding, unfortunately.
And on top of that, I mean, this is one issue we're dealing with, and we'll talk about it here in a second, but, you know, try to reserve the translation to the translators. If I get you right,
yeah.
I think this is where you're going with that. And now you put on top of that is, okay, so this is one direction, but the other direction is the world is going is with, I had a couple other questions like about Bill 96, like must have had a mm-hmm. positive impact on the translation in general, right? Wanted to also ask, you know, what is your opinion on Bill 96 and the impact in Quebec? Have you guys seen any impact or no?
Yes, we have. But just to finish on what I was saying about my discourse to the government, I just want to go to the end of that. It's just what I'm saying to the government is that if the lawyer has to obey so many, has to respect so many requirements when they write their documents, how come as soon as the document is translated, it's not ruled by anything? So the logic would be to, you know, if the contract is regulated, then the translation of the contract should also be regulated. That's my thing. So that I just wanted
That's your argument on that one. And you know, it makes sense. To be honest with you, it does make sense. Now, how, you know, with all this precision around, you know, who's got the authority to deem this translation is official, and I think that's where you're going with this.
Exactly. What we would like to say is that this translation is official if it has been at least reviewed. Of course, not translated maybe, but reviewed by a certified translator.
Yes, right.
That's what we're trying to do, but it hasn't worked yet. I hope it will one day. But for now, we're not there yet.
So I want to ask you about Bill 96 a little bit, and I want to check with you to see, does OTIAC have any connection with OQLF?
Yeah, but there are polite connections. I mean, we have connections, but not really. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk to each other, and sometimes, you know, this winter, the commissaire à la langue française, but organized a conference, so a one-day conference at the U of University of Montreal about French in sciences. You know how all the research is published in English, and how AI could facilitate, you know, the publications in French.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were invited to speak at that conference, and we kind of they were a bit disappointed because they thought that it would be like the panacea. I said, no. Well, and I think, you know, they understood that, you know, yes, AI can help and AI can be very, very, very useful, but it still has to be reviewed, revised by a professional.
Excellent. Which brings me to the Le Devoir, the article that was published, and I sent you a copy on LinkedIn, I guess. I put it mm-hmm. up there. Mr. Archibald sent it to me, and I said, oh, wow, this is intriguing, and I had to publish it. So I wanted to ask you about this one because you were quoted in the article.
I wrote the article. I'm not quoted. I wrote it.
Yeah, yes, indeed. You wrote it. You wrote the whole thing. So what triggered that? What was the genesis?
It's because, you know, we do kind of press review every morning at OTIAC to be able to react when something, you know, when we can react on a few, so, you know, issues. And at that point, there was this judge, I don't remember the name, Judge Wagner.
Okay.
Said, well, he was talking to Mila here, I say here because it's right there, close to to where I am. But anyway, he talked to the lawyer's order in Quebec about the French, about the whole thing is about translating the judgments of the Supreme Court before 1970. There's a whole issue around it because in Quebec they say they should be translated, all of them, because it's in the law.
Yeah.
And but the judge says there are too many of them, it's going to cost too much, it's going to take too long, blah, 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 blah. And then he started, you know, everybody's talking about translation of those, but nobody came to us. So I said, hey, we are the experts here.
Yeah.
Could we talk?
Yeah.
So that's all. That's what that. And I explained that, you know, by the way, AI, we know we've been working with it since 2017. You know, ChatGPT is not new to us.
And that's what I asked you earlier, because that's very interesting. I asked you earlier, like, if you have connection with the government, because this article tells me like, you know, government, obviously all governments is the same. They work in silos. And so I'm assuming this particular one probably did not know about, you know, the order, or I don't know. Is there like a miss there somewhere?
Well, no. It was probably he didn't know.
Yeah.
Again, it's a judge of the Supreme Court of the federal government. Doesn't he know about the Translation Bureau? Meh.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it was a bit like, hey, I was quite...
So speaking of AI, I mean, you've alluded to it a couple of times. We know ChatGPT has been around, AI has been around, etc.
Yeah.
So how does this impact what you do? Like, you're trying to attract people to a profession that is, if I understand correctly, it is mandated, or is it, there's a conformity around it in government. There's a law around it. There's a profession recognized by government. How is that impacting that whole technology migration, AI? How is that impacting your business?
At the order, not much. I mean, it's all about, you know, our members' business, so you know about it. But how is that impacted? The thing is that since I've been president, you know, I've been elected since last September. It's going to be like nine months now. The first thing I did, it's because the strategic plan, OTX strategic plan, was ending, so I had to renew and put in place a new strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the first objective of the strategic plan now is to make people know. And that's why we're trying to be in the medias and everything. That's the main. The first thing is to, if we want to protect the public, again, it's our main mission. If we want to protect the public, we have to make the public know that AI is not a panacea. AI doesn't work. You know, it can work for small things, but if your translation, if the translation is an important document, etc., it has to go through a professional translator. And that's our main point and the main, you know, the main argument, to maybe argument in French, not argument in English. But anyway, the first point we make.
Sure.
So that's one branch of the axes of our strategic plan. The second one is preparing the members to respond to the market. So in that way, we are preparing some, again, education, conferences, information on tools, et cetera, et cetera. So we're working on things like that. And I spent the last 9 months preparing all this. And I hope that by September, we will try, you know, starting to see things happening. But it's a slow process, of course. But this is how, as an order, we respond to the AI progress and
yeah, absolutely. And so in saying that, are you, from an economic point of view, like, what is your view? What's the OTIAC view on the business in Canada, on the language industry in Canada, from an economic point of view? Knowing what we know now, knowing that we have technology that is advancing rapidly, knowing that customers probably are using them already, not going to a professional translator. They're not telling anybody about it, but everybody's got a browser nowadays. Everybody's got an app on their phone, and they're doing it anyway. Are they supposed to be doing it? The answer probably no. But it's easy. It's convenient. Nobody's going to find out, and I'll just translate. Where is the translation business is going, in your opinion? Have you guys at OTIAC done any of this thinking?
No, because unfortunately we're not that rich.
But thinking, like, have you thought about it?
Yes. Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Thinking, yes, of course we do. And we discussed that at the, at some conferences also. What I've been saying is, of course, this is not a scientific thing, but some of our members, they're freelancers or transition companies. I've heard them tell me, well, in 23, the business went down. And now it's picking up again. And I hear some colleagues telling me, you know, this client, he says, you know, called me one day saying, oh, no, we don't need you anymore. We're going to use AI. And they came back like two, three months later. So I think that this ChatGPT or whatever we might call it, another, you know, generative AI thing. What I'm saying is that clients reacting as, you know, when I was myself working, and sometimes once in a while I would have a client saying, oh, I found somebody cheaper than you, blah, 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 bye, bye. I said, okay, bye. You know, a few months later, they would come back. Could you take us back? You know, your quality was better. So it's kind of the same. It's kind of the same process.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I don't think that AI will have an impact, but it will have an impact more on our processes. And of course, we will lose part of the market. You know, as we say, the translation of the invitation to the Christmas party will not go through us anymore, which might be welcome, actually.
You didn't want that anyway, did you?
Not interested. But I think that if we do our job, and this is part of the OTX, again, communication program now, communication plan,
yep,
is to make the companies understand that, hey, AI, yes, it's good, but why don't you let us use it for you, because we know it better than you as far as translation is concerned. You know, give the word to the specialists. So I don't think we'll lose a market. Our market is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
But the specialized, very specialized market, I think we will keep it.
Yep.
Because we will still, I mean, unless something happens, you know, huge change in technology happens. And as I always say, at that time, if the machine becomes as intelligent as that,
mm-hmm,
we'll have other problems than translation.
Yeah, indeed. From what I'm hearing you is, and that's pretty much consistent with what I'm hearing everywhere, AI and technologies are good in, you know, you can't stop the advancement of technology. It's impossible. But it is, use it with caution. That's what I'm hearing from you. Use it in, mm-hmm, a supervised manner. That's also, I heard that from you as well, meaning that when you're using technology, make sure you're using a certified translator or translator to make sure that they are, you know, governing the way technology is being used and to produce the proper outcome that everybody wants and everybody desires. So exactly. Especially for those, you know, in Canada, we take it for granted because most people are, you know, bilingual or somewhat can understand the other side, the other language. But let's say we're dealing with unilingual individuals and they're using technologies, mm-hmm, and they're doing the translation and they have no idea what the outcome is. Yeah, it's French. It looks French, but that's all. That's all they know. So, and they're taking it for granted that this translation is accurate. Oh, guess what? I've done it using ChatGPT. Well, let me break it to you.
and we have to be careful when we say in Canada, we know some French, we know some English, you know? In my experience, as soon as I crossed the Quebec, Ontario frontier,
things change.
Not French anymore. And even in Quebec, you know, because around Montreal, a lot of people are bilingual.
Yeah.
In Montreal, around Montreal, of course, Montreal is, you know, a very poly ethnic city.
Sure.
But if you get out of there, you know, if you go in you know, in other parts of the province, mm-hmm, people speak French and they don't know a word of English.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? So, I've seen that. And, you know, similar to any other part of the country, we might think that Canada is a bilingual country, but in pockets, not everywhere. So. Yeah. And you're right. Like, I go some places like in northern Quebec, Gaspésie, all these places, not a word, mm-hmm, of English up there.
No,
it's not.
And they don't understand you if you speak English. They don't understand English at all.
No.
Some of them, you know, I was quite amazed myself the first time I went. I said, come on. You live in an English ocean.
That's right.
No,
No, that's right. And you know, there's, I mean, that's communities, and that's how people grew up. That's how the people living, and you can't blame them for that. And that's what they are. So it's not a
Well,
big deal.
absolutely. I mean, in Italy, people speak Italian, right?
True. I mean, hey, similarly in, you know, England and a few other places, right? So it doesn't matter. You know, I was speaking to a transition company on the previous podcast from Dubai, for instance. Their specialization is Arabic translation. It doesn't mean anything against the other languages, but that's their specialization. That's what they're
No,
working in.
actually, as translators, we are the link between cultures and languages. This is our job. So we are the links. So we have to be open, and we have to admit that there's a language here and a language there. And it's a good thing for us. I mean, otherwise we would be out of business, right?
That's right. This is the business that we're in. We're connecting people together. Betty,
Absolutely.
do you have a conference coming up? I know OTIAC has conferences, I think.
Yeah, OTIAC has an annual conference, and the next one is going to be on November 8th. It's going to be announced very soon. On November
Yeah, I
8th.
just you know, in my other job, somebody asked me, and you know, I told them yes, we'll be attending. So about the
Yes,
conference.
it's going to be about the value added of a profession of the professional
Yeah.
in
And
knowledge
when is
of
that? In
AI.
November, you said?
Yeah, November 8th. It's
November
one
8th.
day.
So for
It's a
the
Friday.
audience, that's the OTIAC conference happening in Montreal, I'm assuming, right? Or Montreal, right?
Yes.
On
Yes.
November 8th. And I will by the time I publish this podcast, I will put the information, the links in the description for individuals who are interested in finding out what this is about and perhaps participating as an attendee or as an exhibitor. Betty and her team will be happy to help you out and reach out to them. And with that, I want to bring the conversation, before I bring the conversation to an end, I want to ask Betty any last comments you might have for this conversation today. How did it feel? I think this, you've done podcasts before, right?
Not really, but I'm used to teach online, and I'm used to have a lot of
So what do you think of this podcast?
meetings.
How do you feel?
I feel quite comfortable talking to you, and I know you, so it's not really very difficult. But no, I think it's nice, and I think it's a good thing that we spread the word,
Correct. Continue
and
talking.
that we use continue talking, spread the word, because when you have podcasts like yours, hopefully it is listened to and looked at by people who are outside of our trade,
So.
and to help them understand the value of a professional. And again, in these times of technologies and AI, just to make them understand that you trust an engineer with their own technological tool. You don't use them instead of them.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, we are in this on the same
That's
page.
right.
We are professionals. We know the tools. We know how to use them at best in your best interest.
Absolutely. And you know what? We used to use it quite a bit. We used to use it quite a bit. We used to say, I used to tell people, look, God forbid somebody needs to go to court. You don't go and pick the cheapest lawyer to go to court with. You got to go pick somebody who's good and who can get you out of the trouble that you're in. And similarly in translation, you know, the cheapest not always the best, but now with AI and other technology, we can introduce mixtures of things. You can have the, you know, all these technologies becoming, you know, as a calculator to an accountant, really. It's helping us do more with
Absolutely.
less. It's helping us produce what we need to produce. But at the same time, these technologies needs to be governed, needs to be human in the loop. And preferably that human in the loop needs to be certified or needs to know what they're talking about, needs to be educated about
Absolutely.
the topic that they're
Exactly.
involved in. Not because you know the language, in a lot of cases, that's what I keep telling the audience. Not because you know the language that makes you a translator.
No, not at all. And you know, I'm going to quote my predecessor, Donald Barabé, who always says, you know, we all learn the languages, and we all know how to count. You know, knowing how to count doesn't make you an accountant. Knowing two languages does not
Does not make you a translator.
make you a translator. And having two hands does not make you a piano player.
Hold on this one. Excellent. Great. I want to thank you, Betty, for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And
I
I wish you
appreciate
come
it.
back again for another interesting conversation. Maybe we'll have you on a panel. I do have these panels once in a while on the call here. And I really appreciate your time today. It's good to see you, Ferris. First, good to talk to you with you. And I, for the audience, I really appreciate if you can share, like the comment. Thank you for listening in on our podcast. And if you come in on YouTube, thank you for watching. This episode will be launched next week. That's July 8th or July 9th will be online. And I hope everybody will reach out to Betty, get to know. Hopefully today we've educated you a little bit on what the Otiac is and the order in Quebec, the order of the translators in Quebec. And hopefully by today's conversation, we've shed some light on several topics. Obviously, we scratched the surface. We did not really go deep into the topic, but that's a topic for a different hour. And for everybody, thank you so much for joining me on the recording of episode 74 for the Localization Fireside Chat. This is Robin Ayoub and Betty Cohen signing off. Thank you so much.